నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీర్ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః.
రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 10 chapter number 20 entitled The Rainy Season and Autumn Season. Text number 40, actually I was told text number 41. We will recite this text.
Nishchalambur abutushneem Samudra Sharad Agame ఆత్మన్ ఉపరతే సంయన్ మునిర్ విపరతాగమః. నిశ్చలాంబూర్ అభూత్ తూష్ణీ సముద్ర శరద్ ఆగమే ఆత్మన్ ఉపరతే సంయన్ మునిర్ వ్యపరతాగమః. నిశ్చలాంబూర్ అభూత్ తూష్ణీ సముద్ర శరదాగమే ఆత్మన్ ఉపరతే సంయన్ మునిర్ వ్యపరతాగమః.
Matajis, so Matajis can recite. So we'll read the word-to-word translation. Nishchalambu, Nishchala. Motionless, Ambu, its water, Abhut, became, Tushneem, quiet, Samudraha, the ocean, Sharat, of the fall season, Agame, with the coming, Atmani, when the self, Uparate, has desisted from material activities. Samyak, completely. Muni, a sage. Vyuparata, giving up. Agamaha, recitation of the Vedic mantras. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. translation, with the arrival of autumn, the ocean and the lakes became silent, their water still, just like a sage who has desisted from all material activities and given up his recitation of Vedic mantras. Purport. One recites ordinary Vedic mantras for material promotion, mystic power and impersonal salvation. But when a sage is completely free of personal desire, he vibrates the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord exclusively.
41 also is supposed to take? 41.
I'll recite the next verse also, because I was told 41 also. So, text number 41. Kedarebhyastvapogrihnan karshaka dridasetubihi yata pranai sravadhyanam tanu nirodena yoginaha tannirodena yoginaha.
Translation and purport.
Translation. In the same way that the practitioners of yoga bring their senses under strict control to check their consciousness from flowing out through the agitated senses, the farmers erected strong mud banks to keep the water within the rice fields from draining out.
Purport.
Srila Prabhupada comments, in autumn, farmers save the water within the fields by building strong walls so that the water contained within the field cannot run out. There is hardly any hope for new rainfall. Therefore, they want to save whatever is in the field. Similarly, a person who is actually advanced in self-realization protects his energy by controlling the senses. It is advised that after the age of 50, one should retire from family life and conserve the energy of the body for utilization in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unless one is able to control the senses and engage them in the transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
Today we are reading from this 10th canto. We are continuing this narration of the rainy season and the autumn season described by Shukadeva Goswami. So we are reading basically Shukadeva Goswami. He has completed the description of the rainy season. Now he is describing about the autumn season. And in today's verses, he is basically giving two lessons, the 40th and the 41st verse. So he says, in the autumn season, that when the lakes become still and silent, that the water becomes still. So similarly, he says, a sage who has desisted from all material activities and given up all the recitation of the Vedic mantras, he just focuses on the devotional service to the Lord. So basically the point which he is trying to make is that when a person is is not aware of devotional service, a person becomes absorbed in say recitation of the Vedic mantras, his mind becomes absorbed in going to the heavenly planets, performance of different rituals, thinking, keeping the goal as getting some heavenly pleasure. But when he actually comes to know about the goal of devotional service, then he actually desists from the other duties, other paths which he was taking previously. Just like, for example, suppose a person is in a rented house, and suddenly one fine day the owner of the house and comes and tells the person that you have to vacate the house within 1 month. So then, when he comes to know that, he has to vacate the house within 1 month, then he starts focusing on getting a new house or a permanent house. So when there is 1 month notice, if he actually starts investing all his money on the existing house by maybe putting some better marbles or better tiles, putting some air condition, he'll be considered foolish. That means like he has not got the understanding that he is going to be removed after 1 month. But when he actually gets convinced that he'll be thrown out after 1 month, then instead of focusing on the existing house, he focuses on the future house. He puts his energy and money to build the future house. But at the same time, he will take care of the basic needs in the existing house. He'll daily broom the house. If there is some water leakage, he will actually fix that. So similarly, when a person is not convinced about how the life in the heavenly planets is actually temporary, or any material pleasure is temporary, when a person is not convinced about that, when a person is not convinced that this material body is temporary, then he focuses on making life in this world very comfortable. Or he focuses on going to the heavenly planets by doing some karmakanda rituals. But when a person understands the futility of the earthly pleasure or the heavenly pleasure, then he will actually invest his energy more on going to that place where there is an eternal life. But at the same time, he may do whatever is needful in this world. So similarly, a yogi will actually focus on his energy in the next life, but then he may do the normal, he'll do the normal duties. Sometimes he may even perform some karmakanda rituals. Yes, so, but not having full faith in them, because with the expectation, because a devotee may think that, oh, if we don't perform this ritual, then people will unnecessarily criticize the devotees. Oh, these people are fanatic, like that. So he may perform certain duties, he may perform even rituals, certain rituals, without putting his heart into that. He may execute, but his real heart is actually in the building the permanent house out of this world. So this is the first analogy. So I will focus on the second analogy. Second thing which Shukadev Goswami mentions is that he says that just like the practitioners of yoga, they bring their senses under the control. So similarly, when the autumn season comes, the farmers, they know that now there is no more possibility of rainfall. I'll have to wait for another 1 year. Now, since there is no more possibility of rainfall, they want to save the existing water in the paddy field by building the banks very high. So that the water does not flow out of the fields. So this particular instance is actually compared with Shukadev Goswami, that how a yogi should actually control his senses so that he does not fall astray. So basically, the point which is being emphasized is sense control, and Prabhupada also makes another point that the priority one should have when a person grows old, when a person goes beyond 50 in the Vanaprastha ashram. So just like in the autumn season, there is no more possibility of new rainfall. So the farmers preserve the existing water. So similarly, once a person grows old, then the body is just going to dwindle. We are not going to get more energy. Our energy is limited. We become tired after doing certain physical activities. So when a person grows old, because the energy is limited, the energy is not going to increase, but it only is going to decrease. A person should conserve his energy for actually engaging in devotional service. So that is an instruction which Prabhupada gives in the purport. That means like making devotional service as a priority when a person grows old. Because there is no more body is going to dwindle. So we see, I will discuss something on the sense control. Before that, I want to discuss about nature of Shukadev Goswami, the mood of Shukadev Goswami in trying to emphasize these lessons. Like for example, when we see the character of Shukadev Goswami, in the first canto, the sages of Naimisharanya in the fourth chapter, they ask different questions to Suta Goswami. So in one particular verse they ask questions about Shukadev Goswami. They say that Tasya putro mahayogi samadran nirvikalpaka yekanta matir unnidro gudo muda iveyate. They say Shukadev Goswami, he is a great mystic and he sees everyone equally and he is completely absorbed in Brahman and he has one-pointed attention on the goal and he appears like a madman. And then, the next verse, they talk about they give example of one instance to show the level of absorption of Shukadev Goswami in the Brahman, in the absolute truth. In the next verse, the sages of Naimisharanya, they say that when Shukadev Goswami took birth, he immediately left home and he went into the, he was, He was going towards the forest. That time Vyasadeva was going after Shukadeva Goswami. That time it is described that Shukadeva Goswami was going through places where some young ladies were actually taking bath. But when Shukadeva Goswami went there, but the ladies, they did not cover their bodies. But Vyasadeva, when he actually passed by, the ladies actually covered their bodies. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he compares Shukadeva Goswami with Vyasadeva. He says that Shukadeva Goswami, he was young and well built, and he did not wear any clothes. And he was actually looking everywhere. But still the ladies who were taking bath, they did not cover their bodies, because they could understand that this Shukadeva Goswami is not making distinction between male and female, because he is completely absorbed in Brahman. On the other hand, Vyasadeva, he was an old man. He was actually wearing clothes, and he purposefully did not look at the place where the ladies were taking bath. But still the ladies, they actually covered their bodies, because they saw that, oh, Vyasadeva makes distinction between male and female, so they covered their bodies. So basically this instance is shown by, is told by Suta Goswami, the sages of Naimisharanya, to show the level of absorption of Shukadeva Goswami in the absolute truth. How he was actually so sense-controlled, how he was so much absorbed in the absolute truth. But that Shukadeva Goswami, he is actually giving a lesson that how sense control is important in this particular verse. So although he is completely in a transcendental platform, he understands the needs of the people, that in order to come to the transcendental platform, one has to actually practice sense control. So that means we can see that Shukadeva Goswami is concerned about the need of the people, what they need to practice in order to come to the transcendental platform. Just because he is absorbed in the absolute truth, he is not just directly talking about the pastimes of the Lord. He is giving these lessons about sense control. And like we can see, like this particular mode is adopted even by Srila Prabhupada. Like the acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, the advanced devotees, they are more concerned about the need than about what they want to say or what they want to do. Like for example, like last time I was quoting this verse from the second canto, where Parishit Maharaj asked this question, Samplava Sarva Bhutanam Vikrama Prati Sankramaha. Parishit Maharaj asked a question in the second canto, 8th chapter, that please tell me the process of deliverance from samsara, and please tell me the favorable and unfavorable things for bhakti. So basically he is telling that please tell me explain the process of bhakti, and also tell the favorable and unfavorable things for bhakti. So I was, because we discussed that particular verse, but what I want to highlight is that when we read like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he just explains the different words in that particular verse. Parishit Maharaj is wanting to know about the favorable and unfavorable things about the bhakti. He just explaining the question asked by Parishit Maharaj. But Srila Prabhupada goes one step ahead. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives some just 5 or 6 lines purports. But Prabhupada gives 2 or 3 pages purport. Because Prabhupada, he actually gives even the answers to those questions in the purport. Parishit Maharaj's question is like, what are the favorable and unfavorable things? But Prabhupada gives the answers also in the purport. What are the favorable things, unfavorable things? Whereas Shukadeva Goswami answers those questions later. But Prabhupada goes ahead of the verses, and he is actually concerned about the need of the people, because they know that the nature of people in Kali Yuga is that maybe they may not read further verses. So before they come to know, they may not come to know the answer. So let me give the answers now itself. So he is basically concerned about the need of the audience with which he is addressing. So similarly, Shukadeva Goswami, although he is absorbed in Brahman, he is actually telling this important principle of sense control. Even we see this, we see Srila Rupa Goswami, when he writes Upadeshamrit. Rupa Goswami, in 11 verses, he gives the essence of all instruction. So he talks about spontaneous devotional service, he talks about Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, the best among all the places in the whole universe. But then, he begins Upadeshamrit by Vacho Vegam, Manasa Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Mudra Upastegam, Jihva Vegam, Mudra Upastegam. That means, like, in order to come to the platform of spontaneous devotional service, where a person has unrestricted attraction to Krishna, one has to go through the path of restraint. So Rupa Goswami understands that. So that is why he is first actually starting from the path of sense control. So without going through the path of sense control, one cannot actually come to the platform of spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So that is why this is a very important principle. In fact, there is a very beautiful purport in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, in which Prabhupada actually gives a definition of a Goswami. So Prabhupada says, he mentions three things about a Goswami. Goswami means one who restrains all their senses. And secondly, he says, Goswamis, they stick to the path made by the previous acharyas. And then Prabhupada says, the Goswamis, they do not deliver lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam capriciously. Means they do not deliver lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam capriciously. That means they understand the level of the people whom he is addressing. And then he gradually elevates them by telling those principles which they need to practice in order to come to the platform of spontaneous devotional service, in order to come to the platform of love of God. That means, like, they do not deliver lectures like professional Bhagavatam reciters. Professional Bhagavatam reciters are like, somebody who feeds rabadi to somebody who is suffering from loose motion or a newborn baby. But Goswamis are basically, they understand the need of the person and then they give that which is actually needed for them, and then they gradually elevate a person. So here, Shukadeva Goswami is also, as a perfect Goswami, is actually emphasizing this principle of sense control. In fact, like I was thinking about another instance. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. In one particular instance, one purport in the fifth canto. In the fifth canto, when Shukadeva Goswami describes the story of Bharat Maharaj, in one particular verse, Bharat Maharaj says, Shukadeva Goswami says that how Bharat Maharaj performed different karmakanda sacrifices, Agnishtoma and so many other karmakanda sacrifices. So actually, karmakanda sacrifices are actually, they are actually lower compared to the path of devotional service. But Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he writes a long purport. He gives some at least four to six arguments to show that how Bharat Maharaj performing karmakanda sacrifices is not something because of his fall down in devotional service. He is actually trying to bring with what intention Bharat Maharaj performed the karmakanda sacrifices. When the sages would perform karmakanda sacrifices, Indraya Swaha. So Bharat Maharaj would think, oh, this is an offering to the hand of my Supreme Lord. So by his pure intentions, although he was engaged in karmakanda sacrifices, but his bhakti was only increasing. So, why I wanted to mention is that, if we see Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he is known to give some many esoteric points in different verses of the Bhagavatam. Like where there is no mention of Radha Krishna, but Vishnu Chakra Thakur mentions about Radha Krishna. Like in the first verse of Bhagavatam itself, there is no mention of the word Radha Krishna. But he gives how this first verse refers to Radha Krishna, it refers to Madhurya Ras and so many this thing. So he is known to give esoteric commentaries, but we see here, he is also seeing how a devotee who is apparently performing some lower religious principles, he is seeing the Krishna element, he is seeing the pure intention of the devotee. Where it is not apparent. So similarly, so great devotees, it's not that they are just absorbed in Radha Krishna, they are just absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord, but they are also concerned about the needs of the people. They are actually concerned about how they try to emphasize that how even Bharat Maharaj is apparently performing some, practicing some lower religious principle, how he is trying to highlight how he is performing with pure intention, because of that he is only performing bhakti. So here also Shukdev Goswami, although he is absorbed in the Supreme Lord, but he is actually telling about the importance of sense control. So this principle of sense control, we see in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, is explained that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janetyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitukam. So Suta Goswami says that simply by performing devotional service, a person will develop knowledge and detachment. So basically, this verse talks about the power of devotional service. A person will develop knowledge and detachment as a byproduct of devotional service. As a secondary byproduct of devotional service. So, but a more, if a overconfident devotee, so he will think that, oh, I just need to perform devotional service, now automatically sense control, detachment, and I will get knowledge. But a more serious devotee, he will think, he will want to develop detachment, he will want to practice sense control and detachment, and he also want to develop knowledge along with the practice of bhakti. So because, although it is mentioned, simply by practicing bhakti one will develop knowledge and detachment, but a more serious devotee, he will want to practice bhakti along with the practice of sense control, that means leading the life which is not based on bodily conception of life. Leading a life of restraint. That means leading a proper lifestyle. And also you will also want to develop knowledge. Atma Jnana. So when a person, we'll see few examples. Like when a person practices devotional service, he may also have knowledge. He may also have knowledge of the soul. How the difference between the soul and the body. But if his lifestyle is not on the, if his lifestyle is on the bodily concept of life, then he will commit some mistakes, and those mistakes will actually act as an hindrance to his devotional service. Like for example, if we see the character of Daksha Prajapati in the sixth canto. So you know the story that Daksha Prajapati, he begot 10,000 sons called as Hariyashwas, and then he begot 1,000 sons called as Savalashwas. They were preached by Narada Muni to become renunciants. And then Daksha Prajapati becomes very angry, and then he curses Narada Muni. He offends Narada Muni. Of course, one reason for Daksha Prajapati cursing Narada Muni or offending Narada Muni is explained that from a spiritual point of view, it is because of his residual offense which he committed to Lord Shiva. He had offended Lord Shiva previously, which is described in the fourth canto. Because he did not completely beg forgiveness, he did not attain the favor of Lord Shiva, he actually, that led to the another offense. He actually cursed Narada Muni. But if you see from another point of view, the cause of his offense towards Narada Muni is that his lifestyle was in the bodily concept of life. Prabhupada actually, I think, highlights in the purport. Daksha Prajapati, because he wanted to enjoy unlimited sense gratification, he wanted to procreate so many children, his lifestyle involved very much in the bodily concept of life. So because of that, that actually led to the mistake of actually offending Narada Muni. So he had devotion for the Lord, because that is why the Lord appeared to him. And he had spiritual knowledge. If you read the Hamsavuhiya prayers offered by Daksha Prajapati, it is filled with Atma Jnana. It's filled with the difference between the body and the soul. It contains knowledge of the Supreme Lord. He had knowledge, he had devotion, but his lifestyle was in the bodily concept. He did not have sense control. Because of that, it actually led to another offense. He committed a mistake. So, and another example, somebody may practice devotional service, and even one may lead a pious lifestyle. But if a person does not cultivate Atma Jnana, Adhyatma Jnana, then also one may get bewildered in the course of life when some difficulties arise. Like, for example, we see the example of like Chitraketu Maharaj and Kritadyuti, the queens of Chitraketu Maharaj. In one sense, they were all actually devotees, actually. They were all devotees, but of course, they had material disease. And they were not like, they were actually pious people. They were having a pious lifestyle. Chitraketu Maharaj, he did not marry 1 crore wives in order to enjoy sense gratification. He married 1 crore wives so that he can get a son who can actually continue the dynasty. Because one of the important service of a king is not just he rules the kingdom presently, but he also has to beget a son so that he will continue to rule the kingdom even after his disappearance. So he married 1 crore wives not because he was interested in sense gratification, but he wanted to do that service. But they, in one sense, they did not have the transcendental knowledge. He was very much attached to having a son. So then when his son died, they were like severely lamenting. All the queens and Chitraketu Maharaj, they were severely lamenting. That time when Narada Muni and Angira Rishi, when they came, they first gave actually the knowledge of the difference between the body and the soul, how the relationship in this world is temporary. They first gave the spiritual knowledge, the Atma Jnana. And then after giving the Atma Jnana, then Narada Muni gave the mantra. Then he said, now you take this mantra, if you chant this mantra, you will be able to see Sankarshan within a week. So we see that, so he first gave knowledge and then he gave the process of devotional service. Even Prahlad Maharaj, in his teachings to his classmates, he mentions in a particular verse, dharmasya tattvam jnanam cha mam yab uddishya nirmalam. So Prahlad Maharaj says that Narada Muni taught me bhakti yoga, and he also taught me bhakti jnana, or jnana related to bhakti. So Narada Muni not only taught the different angas of bhakti, he also taught the jnana related to bhakti. That is why in Prahlad Maharaj, in his teachings, the 7th canto, 7th chapter, in his teachings to his classmates, he also gives first the knowledge related to bhakti. He talks about the difference between the body and the soul, the relationships are temporary, etc. And then he actually teaches the different angas of bhakti. So that means we see that we need to have a proper lifestyle, and we need to develop the transcendental knowledge, and then along with that we should practice bhakti. Then that is actually a safe path to, in order to actually remain steady in the process of devotional service. So, but one thing is that, so these three principles, Atma Jnana, Vairagya and Bhakti. And out of these three, Atmajnana and Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment or proper lifestyle or and Atmajnana, the transcendental knowledge. They are actually, these two are necessary, but they are not sufficient. These two are necessary, leading a proper lifestyle and having transcendental knowledge, they are necessary. But they are not sufficient to actually to overcome the effects of Maya. But just like many times, like I remember that when studying mathematics, the school days, like there will be certain questions show that prove that for this theorem to be true, this particular condition is necessary but not sufficient. So similarly, Atmajnana and Vairagya, they are necessary to advance in the path of bhakti, but they are not sufficient. So this is actually proved, this lesson is brought out in a very clear way in the story of Ajamil. If you see in the story of Ajamil, Ajamil was a very pious person. When Shukadeva Goswami describes the qualities of Ajamil, Ayam hi Shruta Sampanna, Shila Vritta Gunalaya. He says that he is actually very learned in the Vedas. He had transcendental knowledge, he was actually proper conduct, he had good behavior, he had sense control, he was non-envious, he had respect towards the superiors. He had the proper lifestyle and he had the proper knowledge. But then still he became victim when he actually saw that particular scene, a prostitute being embraced by a Shudra. So this Ajamil story show that these two are actually not sufficient, Atmajnana and Vairagya. In fact, Srila Vishnu Chakravartakur says that Ajamil could not protect himself from falling by jnana and by steadiness in dharma. But he attained Vaikuntha later after restoring himself by Namabhasa alone. So Ajamil, when he saw that particular scene, he was trying to remember whatever he learned in the scriptures and he was trying to remember all the rules and regulations, etc. But that jnana and the practice of dharma was not sufficient to actually protect himself. But the same Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. But that doesn't mean that these two principles are not necessary. In fact, Prabhupada says they are actually necessary. Prabhupada writes in a purport, unless one is very strong in knowledge, patience, proper bodily, mental and intellectual behavior, controlling one's lusty desires is extremely difficult. But Prabhupada doesn't mention that, oh, just because they are not sufficient, that doesn't mean that we don't practice sense control, we don't practice proper bodily, mental and intellectual behavior. Prabhupada says, if we don't practice that, then you will definitely fall victim. Controlling lusty desires is extremely difficult. That means, what Prabhupada is trying to say is that these are necessary, but they are not sufficient. Because the fact that they are Atmajnana and that sense control is necessary, that is again brought out in the life of Ajamil. Because Ajamil, after he heard the conversation between Vishnudutas and Yamadutas, then he goes to Haridwar. It's explained that Ajamil controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. Ajamil again practiced his sense control. Because practice sense control is necessary in order to fix the mind of the Supreme Lord. So this lesson is like clearly brought out. So those who think that sense control is sufficient for attaining perfection, they are like Buddhists. That means their attitude is that I can attain the goal simply by my effort. But those who think that sense control and Atmajnana, they are not necessary, they are like Sahajiyas, who do not practice any sense control. Or those who think that sense control and Atmajnana is not necessary, they are like followers of that religion, which only emphasize on mercy but not on the endeavor. So basically, so these three principles, along with the practice of bhakti, one has to practice sense control and one has to develop transcendental knowledge in order to practice bhakti steadily in the long run. And so I wanted to speak something on, so when a person practices these three principles, then when a person comes to the platform of love of Godhead, then how does a person behave? So I want to take few examples, one from Chaitanya Charitamrita, one from Bhagavatam, to actually understand just to see the behavior of those people who are actually in the stage of love of Godhead. So you know the story from Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Mahaprabhu was visiting Mathura, so when Mahaprabhu took bath in the Vishram Ghat and then he took darshan of Keshavji, then he started dancing with great ecstasy. So at that time, there was another elderly Brahmana, he joined Mahaprabhu, he also starts dancing and he also started exhibiting ecstatic symptoms along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then after some time when the Kirtan ended, Mahaprabhu asked this Brahmana, "You are exhibiting such ecstatic symptoms, but how are you exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms? Where did you receive this prema dana? From whom did you receive this prema dana?" So that time, that Brahmana, he says, "Madhavendra Puri came to Mathura. He accepted me as his disciple and even took prasadam at my house." In fact, we can see the finer sentiments of the Vaishnavas. He does not say that I received prema dana. He just mentions that Madhavendra Puri accepted me as his disciple. And then he took prasadam at my house. As soon as Mahaprabhu hears this, he immediately offers obeisances to this Brahmana. And this Brahmana becomes embarrassed. So Mahaprabhu, his Brahmana becomes embarrassed. "Why is the sannyasi offering obeisances to me?" Then he says, "Please, you do not offer obeisances to me." Mahaprabhu, why he offered obeisances? Because he is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, that means he is on the level of his own spiritual master. He is a godbrother of his spiritual master, who should be given the same respect as his spiritual master. That is why he offered obeisances. So then, this Brahmana says to Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he says that, "You please cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and here is an arrangement, you please cook for Mahaprabhu." But at that time, Mahaprabhu says that actually Madhavendra Puri has already taken prasadam at your house. So you please cook for me and this is my instruction. So previously, actually Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to this Brahmana considering himself on the position of the spiritual master. And you do not give instruction to a spiritual master actually. But here Mahaprabhu is saying, "This is my instruction that you should cook for me." So we can see why Mahaprabhu is saying this is my instruction, because he wants to establish a higher principle. And if you see from the point of view of this Brahmana, why he told Balabhadra Bhattacharya to cook? In fact, to get an opportunity, those who do not get opportunity to render personal service to the Lord, they are unfortunate. And those who get an opportunity to render service to the Lord, they are fortunate. But those who get that opportunity and they deliberately don't want to use that opportunity, they are most unfortunate. Here this Brahmana, he has got that opportunity and he himself is saying, he himself is delegating that to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. "I don't want to cook, you please cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." In fact, there is a verse in the Garuda Puran which says that one of the symptoms of a person who is in the platform of love of Godhead is that he personally engages in the worship of the Lord. But here, this Brahmana is delegating this to Balabhadra Bhattacharya, delegating the service to Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So why does he do that? Because he actually belongs to a lower caste Brahmana. So he thinks that if I serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there are other caste Brahmana, they would actually start criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he cannot tolerate the criticism. So out of love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not want to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Usually we think like, out of love, we want to actually serve that person. But here, out of love for Mahaprabhu, he did not want to personally serve Mahaprabhu. Because one of the symptoms of love is that, he cannot tolerate the blasphemy of the beloved. So he is not concerned about him personally serving Mahaprabhu. He is more concerned about how him serving Mahaprabhu will actually induce negative emotions in others and they will start criticizing Mahaprabhu, and I cannot actually tolerate that. So we can see that because Sanodiya Brahmana, he knows that he cannot restrain himself when others will criticize Mahaprabhu. In order to avoid that situation, he is exhibiting restraint in the form of not personally serving Mahaprabhu. So this is like a sense control exhibited by Sanodiya Brahmana, not wanting to serve Mahaprabhu directly. And of course, Mahaprabhu, he actually offered obeisances to Sanodiya Brahmana, but then he is telling, he is instructing later, this is my instruction, you should personally serve me. So apparently, he is not exhibiting sense control. In the sense like, he is giving instruction to his superior, because if he had not taken prasadam at the house of Sanodiya Brahmana, in a way he would be offending Madhavendra Puri. Because it is like saying that, oh, Madhavendra Puri has already taken prasadam at his house. That means like Madhavendra Puri recognized the nature of the nature of that Vaishnava. So, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not taken prasadam, it would give a feeling that he is actually better than Madhavendra Puri. So instead of giving the feeling to the world that he is actually better than Madhavendra Puri, because he is instructing the Sanodiya Brahmana that you have to cook for me. And then he says, the behavior of a Vaishnava, that is actually standard of religious principles. Because Madhavendra Puri behaved in that way, I want to actually take prasadam at your house. So this is one example, and just last example I'll just complete here. So this is from the life of Prithu Maharaj, when he offers on prayer to Lord Vishnu. So one of his prayers to Lord Vishnu, we can see how he actually exhibits this quality of sense control or restraint. In one sense, he's actually speaking in a very rude way. So Prithu Maharaj says, Ata bhajetva kila purushottamam gunalayam padmakareva lalasa apyavayor ekapatispruto kalir nasyat krutatva charanaika tanayo. So Prithu Maharaj says that I have a great desire to serve your lotus feet. He's offering this prayer to Lord Vishnu. I have a great desire, intense greed, lalasa, to serve your lotus feet, just like Mother Lakshmi is engaged in the service of your lotus feet. So when Prithu Maharaj is offering this prayer to Lord Vishnu, actually if you see these three characters, Prithu Maharaj, Lakshmi Devi and Lord Vishnu. So Prithu Maharaj is offering this prayer, so one may think that, so what service which he wants to render? Mother Lakshmi is actually a consort of Lord Vishnu. So but Prithu Maharaj wants to render those service which Lakshmi Devi renders in the dasyaras, like sweeping the floor or making some cooking for the Lord, or making some like cleaning the temple of the Lord, or fanning the Lord, etc. So Lakshmi Devi engages not only in the services as a consort of the Lord, giving conjugal pleasure to the Lord, but she also engages in those services which are rendered by a servant. So when you study the character of Lakshmi Devi, that means Madhurya Ras does not exclude Dasya Ras, but it actually includes Dasya Ras. That means when a person advances, it is not that he doesn't want to do some simple thing. Mother Lakshmi is on the platform of conjugal dress, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't take pleasure in doing that simple services like sweeping or fanning for the Lord. So this tells an important point from the character of Lakshmi Devi, that Madhurya Ras does not exclude Dasya Ras, but it actually includes Dasya Ras. He also wants to do this services in the Dasya Ras. So Prithu Maharaj is aspiring for those services rendered by Lakshmi Devi, which she renders in the Dasya Ras. And in fact, when Lord Vishnu says that, but Dadar Lakshmi will become angry with you because you are competing with Lakshmi Devi's services. What will happen to you if she becomes angry with you? So then Prithu Maharaj says, Jagat Jananyam Jagadisha Vaishasam Syadyeva Yat Karmani Na Samihitam Karoshi Falgup Urudina Vatsala Swayeva Dishnye Biratasya Kimtaya. He says, O Lord of the universe, the mother of the universe may become angry that I desire her service. Affectionate to the miserable, you make great those who are small. And what use do I have for Lakshmi Devi, since I have your power behind me? So here, when Lord Vishnu is saying, what if Lakshmi Devi becomes angry with you? So here, Prithu Maharaj is saying, actually, I am actually an insignificant person. Karoshi Falgu. I just performed some Ashwamedha sacrifice. I just performed some Karmakanda sacrifices. I am just an insignificant person. But I know that you give mercy to those who are insignificant. So because even if Lakshmi Devi becomes angry with me, but I know that you will take my side, because your nature is that you only show mercy to those who are insignificant devotees. And I am an insignificant devotee. So therefore, even if Lakshmi Devi becomes angry, I don't actually worry, because you will take my side. So actually, he says, I don't care for Lakshmi Devi, because I have your power behind me. So in one sense, actually, Prithu Maharaj is actually competing with Lakshmi Devi. Like in our case, like we are actually filled with all the anarthas. Like we may pray to Lakshmi Narayan, but we may compete with Lakshmi Narayan Das. Like what I am saying is, like, we may pray for remote mercy, but we may compete with some devotee who is actually next to us. But here, Prithu Maharaj is competing with the source of all mercy. The source of all the devotional services is actually Lakshmi Devi, goddess of fortune. But here, Prithu Maharaj is competing with Lakshmi Devi herself. But the foundation of that competition with Lakshmi Devi is that complete conviction that he is an insignificant devotee, and complete conviction that Lord will take the complete faith in the nature of the Lord, that he takes the side of insignificant person, and the foundation of that competition with Lakshmi Devi is his incomparable attraction to the Lord. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, like Prithu Maharaj comes in the category of Veera Bhakti or Veera Parshada. So when a person in the stage of Veera Parshada, sometimes he behaves rudely even with great associates of the Lord. So he gives an example. Like one devotee said, Balaram is the enemy of Pralamba, and he may be the Supreme Lord, but what use do I have for him? And what can I gain from the Prince Pradyumna, since I have been elevated by the wealth of Krishna's glance of mercy? I do not give regard even to Satyabhama, the head of all Krishna's followers. So apparently, a devotee is actually behaving rudely with the great associates of the Lord. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that when a person is having incomparable attraction to the Lord, he has internal affection for all the associates of the Lord, but externally he may behave rudely with other devotees. So that is because he is not able to restrain his attraction towards the Lord. So here Prithu Maharaj, he is exhibiting a different kind of sense control. Like, he is not able to control his attraction towards the Lord. Because of that, he is actually exhibiting his, he is actually competing with Lakshmi Devi. But the foundation of that competition with Lakshmi Devi is that complete conviction in being an insignificant devotee and complete faith in the nature of the Lord as one who takes the side of an insignificant devotee. And it is arising from his incomparable attraction towards the Lord. So I'll summarize. So we talked about the nature of Sukadeva Goswami, that how, although he is absorbed in Brahman, but he is actually talking about the principle of sense control. And we talked about how Srila Prabhupada also, he is concerned about the need of the people when he writes his purports. We talked about these principles, Bhakti Yoga, Atma Jnana, and Vairagya. And we said that how Bhakti, Atma Jnana and Vairagya, they are necessary, but they are not sufficient. And then we talked about the behavior of people who are in the love of God and how they practice sense control from the life of Sanodiya Brahmana and the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the life of Prithu Maharaj. So I'll stop here. Anybody has any comments or questions? Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.